Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome here to Unity Center of Light located in Bowie, Maryland. And welcome to our Palm Sunday service today. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. As always, I'd like to let you know that there is a Zoom fellowship following right after this. For those who are not familiar with that, you can find the link to it in your e-newsletter or weekly update. And we look forward to having you in that Zoom fellowship service right after this message and meditation. And also, if you find this service to be inspiring and uplifting and you would like to support Unity Center of Light, which we would really appreciate, please click on the Show More button right below if you're watching this on YouTube, and you'll see all the ways that you can support Unity Center of Light. And we welcome all your donations. And also, if you, you know, find this, that you like these series that we're doing here in Unity, please click on the subscribe button in the lower right-hand corner, and also click on the like button. And so, you know, we appreciate all that you do to support us in the work that we do for you. And now we're going to get started with Pamela.
Yes, thank you. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop and fully express their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. And let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine identity. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, April 2nd, and this is Palm Sunday. The key word, or the two words, are Palm Sunday, and the affirmation is, I celebrate my awareness of the divine presence alive in me. Just as the enthusiastic crowd welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem with a spirit of great, enthusiastic celebration, I commemorate Palm Sunday by opening my heart and mind to the divinity that is within me and within all others I meet today and every day. This welcoming attitude changes me at depth, making the commitment to behold the Christ in myself and in each person I meet is my way of symbolically placing palm branches before them, greeting them as I would Jesus. The celebration of the divine in each person lays a path to spiritual freedom. From perfect peace within, I shout Hosanna as my jubilant soul celebrates. The scripture reading is taken from John 12:13, and it reads, So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So it's interesting. I was listening to a minister's meeting this past week, and the topic of discussion was your Palm Sunday, Easter, Christmas. You know, how do you make those different? You know, because they're all based on certain, you know, Bible verses and explanations of why we celebrate those particular events. And so they were all talking about how do you make it different, because it's all really the same story. But I think today we are going to hear a lot, you know, some of what Palm Sunday is all about, because I've heard from folks saying that, you know, it's Palm Sunday, it's Easter, we want to hear the Palm Sunday story, we want to hear the Easter story. So, you know, we're going to do that today, but we're going to add a little something different to that, all right? Now, the idea of this title, Thy Kingdom Come, in an exclamatory no.
My kingdom.
You know, I'm sorry, thank you, sweetie. My kingdom come, exclamatory no, Thy Kingdom Come, is probably fairly explanatory to folks who have been, you know, studying metaphysical interpretation of scripture for a long time and living the spiritual life for a while. So the idea behind my kingdom has to do with my ego's version of my life and all that is occurring in it, okay? Whereas thy kingdom come has to do with the divine intuition that comes to us when we're able to let go of what we think so that we can hear God think, okay? Now, God thought is what we call, you know, divine guidance, divine intuition, divine inspiration. Excuse me. And these valuable, life-changing, inspiring thoughts come to us when we are open and receptive to thy kingdom come. And they are shut off when we are steeped in my kingdom come. Okay? And steep meaning, of course, we're filled with our own limited interpretations and perceptions of what we're experiencing in our lives. And yes, it is normal for us to be stuck in our own heads. You know, it's just how we are. We find ourselves just being, sometimes getting stuck in our own heads. It's normal, but it's not optimal for a holistic life experience, okay? Because being stuck in our own heads, it's very limited in terms of how we view our lives. And that's what we're going to understand in this talk today, is how do I increase my ability to understand the totality of my life experience? And yes, you know, my kingdom come thinking is intelligent, but to an extremely limited degree when compared to being open and receptive to thy kingdom come, which is infinite, okay? So God's kingdom is a divine consciousness within each of us that knows and understands God, and a part of understanding God is being able to grasp the meaning of signs and symbols that show up in our lives, okay? So in other words, what I'm saying is when we're operating from our intellect, we typically are looking for very concrete kind of information in order to move through our lives. But when you're working with this thy kingdom come mentality or openness, you begin to see and understand the meaning of the signs and symbols that show up in your life, right? So our interaction with God is not just thoughts or emotions and feelings. It is also signs and symbols, and understanding how to interpret these signs and symbols to get answers and guidance for what is occurring in our life, okay? Now, I could go on to explain that even more, but I will in this talk, but some other ideas just came to me, but I'm going to let those go for a minute, and we can talk about those more in the discussion time. But the Bible account of Palm Sunday is filled with spiritual symbolism, and how you interpret the spiritual symbolism in Scripture has a lot to do with your own personal vision, dreams, and aspirations. Okay, so we each will look at these signs and symbols and interpret them in a different way, not only in Scripture, but also in our lives. Okay, things happen and we begin to see them for what they're really trying to show us, as opposed to what we think they mean. And if you know how to capitalize on the powerful messages embedded in the symbols that show up in your life, it can greatly increase your ability to stay spiritually minded, spiritually focused, spiritually connected as you move through the experiences that, you know, that you're going through. And that will help you to achieve your spiritual and life goals sooner than later. In other words, as you begin to expand your way that you look at life, you get information quicker than just looking at it in a very finite way. So let's look at what we already know about Jesus' ride, you know, what we already know about Palm Sunday. This is the stuff you know, okay? We know that Jesus, you know, rode into Jerusalem on the back of a colt. We already know that according to the Gospels, before entering Jerusalem, Jesus was staying in Bethany and Bethpage, and the Gospel of John adds that he had dinner with Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha. Okay, these are things we know. And while he was there, Jesus is described by the Synoptic Gospels, meaning all three Gospels, as sending two unnamed disciples to the village in order to retrieve a colt that had been tied up but never been ridden. Okay, those are important things. And to say, if questioned, just say that the colt is needed by the Lord, but would be returned in a short period. Okay. Now, the Synoptic Gospels adding that the disciples had put their cloaks on it, the colt, so to make it more comfortable. The Gospels go on to describe how Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a colt, very unassuming, okay, And I want to emphasize that he did this in a very unassuming way, okay? And people laid down their cloaks in front of him, and also they laid down small palms of trees. Now, this is a typical explanation of the historical event of Palm Sunday that is typically explained every year and is what we find in Scripture, okay? Now, American Franciscan priest Richard Rohr explains that the palms, you know, laying the palms on the road signifies the need for an unlimited source of strength and courage to make this journey, or any journey in our lives. The road is paved with strength because Jesus would need great strength and courage to move forward through the confrontation that was ahead of him. Okay? Now, this is significant. So as we know, this is because Jesus and his disciples, right, were on their way to Jerusalem, and he took them aside and he said to them, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priest and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death, and listen, and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. But on the third day, he will be raised to eternal life." Okay? Now, that's a lot for the disciples to swallow. Matter of fact, it might be a lot for us to swallow. You know, he's going to be flogged and, you know, mocked and flogged and crucified. You know, so, and the reason why it's a lot for the disciples to swallow is because for them, they, you know, they were caught up in the minute details and couldn't grasp the whole picture. They were most likely caught in thinking Jesus is going to be arrested, he's going to be condemned to death, he's going to be mocked and flogged and crucified. Okay? It's a high probability that in their thought process, they never got to the part where Jesus said, "On the third day, I will be raised to eternal life." Okay? And they probably never got to it because that was outside of what they could comprehend. Okay? Now, I'm making this assumption because that is most likely how many folks viewing the troubling circumstances in their life experience, you know, they get caught up in the details. We get caught up in the minutia that is, you know, we're unable to see the greater good at the end. And think about that. You know, you got a series of things going on and you're caught up in those details. We get caught up in those details and it stops us from understanding the greater good that this all is leading us to. Okay. Now, basically, we worry about the details. But as Malcolm X explained, every defeat, every heartbreak, every loss contains its own seed, its own lesson on how to improve your performance the next time, okay? But to get through these times of defeat and heartbreak and loss, you know, of every kind requires a consciousness that is willing to learn from our life experiences and not get caught up in the details, okay? So, and again, you know, this is you know, a challenging thought process because the details are just looming in our face right now and we really can't understand and see the end. It's almost like, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." It's sort of that idea. You know, I'm going through the details, but because you are, the Christ is with me, or God is with me, I'm holding out that this is leading to something good. And Jesus' disciples were very much like many of us, okay? We've been studying the teachings of Jesus for a while, but we still may not get what he was trying to get us to understand. And just as he said to his disciples, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you?" And I know this sounds a bit harsh, right? But I think we understand what Jesus is trying to convey. You know, his disciples were with him every single day, and they weren't getting it, right? So you can almost say to ourselves, well, you know, I'm working with these principles and whatnot, and I'm still trying to get it, right? But as Richard Rohr explains, there is symbolism in the whole of Jesus' journey about the support we are continuously receiving to help us in difficult times, okay? And that's an important point. So just as the palms are laid before Jesus to help him endure his journey, because he knew where he was going. He understood the end that was coming. He knew what he had to go through. He knew the details, but he also knew the end, okay? But he had to endure getting through those details of being, you know, turned over, arrested, flogged, mocked, and crucified. He had to get through all of that, right? But, you know, the palms were laid before Jesus to help him endure his journey, and there are palms on the road that we travel, okay, that represent an unlimited source of strength and courage all the way through our spiritual journey. So what we're reading about Jesus, the symbolism in that is also our story. The symbolism in the story of Jesus on Palm Sunday is our story. So today, what we're talking about is our own story, right? So palms are being laid on the road before us as we are on our own journey to enter Jerusalem, the place of unfathomable peace within us, right? Now, the revealing word explains that Jerusalem represents the spiritual center of our consciousness. That is the abiding place of spiritual peace. When we go deep into the silent recesses of our being, we realize, okay, a stillness and sweetness beyond expression. This is the point in consciousness where the spiritual energy, right, of life is strong enough to realize the substance of, revitalize. That's important. Let me say that again. This is the point in consciousness where the spiritual energy of life is strong enough to revitalize the substance of our entire body. Okay? So, you know, you think about this. This is how Jesus was able to make this journey, even though he knew what it would lead to, okay? And same thing for us. If we have that understanding, we understand that that the strength and courage is always part of the path that we're walking. And even though he knew what it would lead to, and when he, you know, when we can really understand, you know, the strength and courage is being continuously laid on the road before us, we too will be able to travel through the details, okay? Knowing we'll be delivered into the glory of what that which we most desire, okay? So to get to what we want, a lot of times we got to go through some stuff, and we all know that, all right? However, we're going to take this lesson to the next level, all right, to a place that many of us may not know that was also happening as Jesus was, you know, entering Jerusalem. We're going to look at the fact that as Jesus rode into Jerusalem, right, it was a very different way from the way Pontius Pilate. Now, most of us don't know that Pontius Pilate was entering Jerusalem the same time Jesus was. Because if Jesus was riding into Jerusalem humbly on the back of a colt, he entered the city from the east gate. Meanwhile, Pilate was entering Jerusalem through the west gate, the front gate, okay? Contrary to Jesus' humble entry, riding on the back of a colt, Pilate rode in on his huge fine horse. He had legions of chariots and horses and foot soldiers dressed for battle, armed with spears and swords. He wanted to make it clear that Rome's authority could not be questioned, okay? And think about that for a minute in terms of what that means within your own being. So compared to Jesus' humble entry at the other end, Pilate's intention was to show that he was the king of the material world by showing force instead of, like Jesus, showing love and wisdom and compassion. So the symbolism of Jesus' actions was, "Thy kingdom come," while the symbolism of Pilate's actions were obviously, "My kingdom come." Okay? An additional symbolism can be found in the fact that Jesus rode in from the east, which, as explained in Revealing Word, means Jesus was coming from inner wisdom, strength, love, and compassion. So when we enter our lives, you know, and, you know, you go out into life and you're dealing with all the things that are happening, ask yourself, am I entering into this from the east? Meaning and coming from my own inner wisdom, strength, love, and compassion. which inspired in him, in Jesus, reverent thoughts that provide divine guidance through every kind of challenging situation he was to face, okay? So coming from the East, coming from love and compassion and wisdom and so forth and strength, it prepared him for what he was about to face. Meanwhile, Pilate was coming from the West. Now, the interpretation of the West has many meanings. The one that might fit here is that the West symbolizes moving from ignorance to wisdom. Now, you might think that's a good thing, okay? And it is a good thing, but let's see how it worked with Pilate. See, sometimes this coming from the West means it's called a little death, which means a small death happening within you in your own consciousness of moving from ignorance to wisdom. Now, while being in the consciousness of the West, we are asked to put away our ego-driven ways so that we can evolve to a higher state of consciousness. So how do we apply this explanation to this, you know, Roman governor of Judea? You know, Pilate. Well, the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary explains the personal will, Pilate, has no concept of the divine factors of the inner higher realm, or we can say the inner higher self, okay? Therefore, the personal will believes that it is the ruler of all of our being, like Pilate was demonstrating. Thus, it believes, my will be done, okay? Or my kingdom come. The personal will becomes jealous of any attempt to usurp its perception of power. But when it is assured that the kingdom of the higher self, the divine self, is not of this world, it finds no fault in that self. Okay. Now, this was demonstrated in John 18:36 when Jesus answered Pilate's question. You know, Pilate asked, you know, are you the king of the Jews? He was looking to see if Jesus being king of the Jews, which means, you know, Pilate considered himself the master of the Jews. He didn't want another master. But Jesus' answer was, my kingdom is not of this world. Okay? Now that caused Pilate to turn to the Jews and say, I find no basis for a charge against him because he's not trying to take away my world. Okay? This is a very interesting twist to our understanding of the spiritual kingdom versus the material kingdom. Jesus was not trying to convince Pilate of another kingdom because he understood that Pilate was very much entrenched in his own kingdom, okay? He wasn't trying to, you know, let him know, no, I'm not interested in taking over this kingdom. And also, that disappointed a lot of Jews because they thought that Jesus was going to overcome Pilate and overcome Rome and give them a sense of freedom. But Jesus was saying, nah, I don't have anything really to do with that. I'm talking about the inner kingdom, okay? Now, Richard Rohr explains in his book, Jesus' Alternative Plan, that Jesus was expressing the difference again between the kingdom that is eternal, the inner kingdom, and the kingdom that is constantly changing and eventually perishes, the material kingdom, okay? And that might be something, again, that we can discuss in the discussion part of the fellowship. But like Jesus, our own spiritual power is not of this world. Our own spiritual power is not of this world. It lies within and expresses through a quiet grace, a loving, compassionate place where inner wisdom guides us, right? So when we are able to truly center ourselves in our inner peaceful place, the world around us will recognize this gentle power and respond accordingly, okay? But as it is with, you know, this entire spiritual journey, this is a spiritual task we have to be continuously mindful of. Because even as we are striving to enter Jerusalem, the place of peace within us, Pilate, the ruling mind of the personal ego that is set on my will be done, my kingdom come, will be coming at us from a direction that is opposite from the spiritual path that we are on, okay? So the question for each of us to ponder is, will I let Pilate and his army deter and knock me out of the place of peace I'm striving to enter and remain in? So as it expressed in This is Psalm 118:8, and I paraphrase it to match this talk. It says, "It is better for me to trust the divine guidance from within than to trust sources outside of me. As I strive to move forward, I might be pushed back and feel I am about to fall. But the Christ within helps me to stay on course. The Christ is my strength and my defense and has become my salvation." Okay? So as I shared in previous lessons, scriptures like this, you know, has to be taken to heart in order to have a profound divine effect on our lives. You have to be able to take this to heart. You can't take it into your head because your head may not grasp it. You got to take it into your heart. Okay? And it requires that you choose a path. Now listen carefully. It requires that you choose a path and then follow it long enough to be able to experience it working in your life. Now, you follow this path, you experience it working in your life. And then you want to evaluate what you experience to see if this is the right path for you. Okay? So we're not saying that the path that Jesus gave us is the absolute right path for everybody. It may be the path of Buddha or, you know, some other great master that you feel more in tune with. But whatever it is, you have to stay with it long enough to see it, experience it working in your life, and then evaluate what you experience to see if that's the right path for you. And if you resonate with the paraphrased verse we just read, it could be an acknowledgement that this particular spiritual path works for you. Listen again. "It is better for me to trust the divine guidance within than to trust sources outside of me. As I strive to move forward, I might be pushed back and feel I'm about to fall, but the Christ within helps me to stay on course. The Christ is my strength and my defense and has become my salvation." Now, can you hear a personal acknowledgement in that statement? More importantly, can you feel a personal acknowledgement in that statement? Can it feel like something you would say and could, you know, tap into? And a line in that scripture which proclaims, "As I strive to move forward, I was pushed back and about to fall," in this verse, the pushback is symbolized in the character of Pilate, who represents my will be done, my kingdom come, pushing back on your thought, thy will be done, thy kingdom come. Okay, that's where we need the strength, because we will get that Pilate pushback or ego pushback, you know, trying to maintain its kingdom. Right? Now, Jesus' life is a lesson of humility and surrender that led to true glory and power. And there are two parts to this process. His life is a lesson in humility and surrender that led to true glory and power. The two parts. First part is humility and surrender. The ability to let go of the way we normally choose to react to the challenging circumstances in our lives. And the second part is the ability to take action and move forward in consciousness, away from the thinking, speaking, and acting that contributes to the unwanted challenges we may be challenging, okay? We may be experiencing. But I think that's enough, right? Because there's a lot of stuff in there to really think about. So I think that's enough. But I want to leave you with this thought from Ernest Holmes that I think summarizes what we learned in this lesson. And it comes from his book, This Thing Called You. He says, "I am conscious of an infinite wisdom directing me. I am conscious of an infinite wisdom directing me. Whatever I ought to know, I shall know. Whatever I ought to do, I shall do. And whatever belongs to me comes to me." And so it is. Amen. All right. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So, Unity family, let's center ourselves by taking in some deep breaths as we slowly begin to relax our minds and our bodies. This is our time for reflection and imagination. This is Holy Week, and what a gift you are receiving as you turn within for security, faith, and God's never-ending love. I want you to imagine with me now palm branches at your feet and all around you. The palm symbolizes victory, triumph, gladness, and all that is brightness. The willow symbolizes sorrow, humiliation, captivity, and death. We call it the weeping willow. These two trees were brought together because they grow together in human life experience. No matter who and what we are, life is a mixture of all that these trees symbolize. I invite you to relax now and rest in the peace of God. Keep your thoughts on the peace of God flowing over you in fathomless billows of love. As you walk the palms in your mind, know that this is the path of the one who showed us what we all might be. Imagine yourself as Jesus entering Jerusalem. Connect with the nonviolent Jesus. Allow yourself to be still and be aware of the choice you get to make in every moment of violence or nonviolence, chaos or peace. From the awareness of your nonviolent self and your peaceful self, feel the compassion, the grace, the love, the purity, and transcend from the physical world to the spiritual world. As we continue our walk, remember the victory, triumph, gladness, and all that is brightest. And now take these words as your very own. Dear God, I too have made my journey into Jerusalem. I have walked the palm branches as a reminder of Jesus' journey into Jerusalem so many years ago. I give thanks for Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem and for his teachings that he has given us to live a life of abundance, peace, and joy. I give thanks and know that I too can overcome and live in the kingdom of God that lives and dies by love, service, and forgiveness. And now we will take that pause to enter into the secret place of the Most High, that place of peace, love, joy, and faith, a place that is in our consciousness that we may enter into at any time. So imagine yourself at the door of that secret place. As you get to that threshold, you remember to let all things go that are not serving you right now. And step through the door and take a seat. And as you do, you feel the light and life and energy of God flow over, around, and through you. We thank you, gracious Spirit, that you have heard our prayers and answered them as you always do. Thank you for your guidance this upcoming Holy Week. For all our blessings, we give thanks in the name of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Hosanna and Amen. When you are ready, come back to your surroundings.
Yeah, and that meditation really blended in with the talk. That was great. So, this is a time we, you know, give thanks for all the blessings that come into our lives. We open our hearts and our minds and recognize that, you know, God is the source of all the good that comes into our lives, and we want to give thanks for that. And we're going to do that with our prosperity prayer that we're going to say together. And remember, this is acknowledging our own individual prosperity. So together, divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me. Amen. All right. And then, you know, now, you know, it's just being open and receptive to allowing some of that abundance that flows into your life to flow into your spiritual home, the place where we get our spiritual food from. So holding your offering in your hand, in your mind, and in your spirit, let's say our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. And now we will have light notes with Pamela.
Next Sunday, April the 9th, Easter Sunday, we will be holding our in-person and live stream service. We look forward to celebrate the day with our Unity family in person. Also, Children's Church will be hosting an Easter egg hunt that day, so parents and grandparents, please bring your children and your grandchildren to church. We will also have special music with Dominique Clark on keyboard and vocals. And if you want to be the winner of an Easter lily, be at our Easter service in person. On Sunday, April 16th, Lily Sandberg will be our guest speaker. Lily's talk title is, So What Now? Please check your e-newsletter for more details on her talk. And the next member orientation will be on Sunday, April the 23rd and Sunday the 30th. More details on times and links may be found in your newsletter and weekly updates. And that concludes our announcements.
All right, so what time is it?
It's time to bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto together.
All right. I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful. All right, let's go right into our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. All right. So it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. We look forward to seeing you next Sunday, Easter, in person. Yeah. We'll be doing in person, and we'll be live streaming. We won't be doing Zoom on Easter. I will be speaking live, and it's challenging to do that. I'm still part of the AV setup team and work with Zoom at the same time. So we're going to be live streaming. So please join us in person. And if you can't make it in person, please join us in the live stream. Go out ahead of time. If you're not already subscribed to Unity, the Unity YouTube channel, look for the e-newsletter and weekly update this week, and you will see how you can go out and subscribe. That way you'll get a notification that the live stream is starting next week. And we look forward to seeing all of you there.
Okay.
So have a wonderful week. Enjoy your week, and we will see you next week.
All right. Bye-bye.